Welcome everybody to Cup with Gup on this probably late Thursday evening. If you're listening to it or Friday morning, I will release it halftime of the Thursday night football game like I have before. We actually put a tweet out on the At Gup's Corner. We're looking for a name to kind of brand this as its own pod. If you are a member, you can go over there and check that out. We're going to select five people for the Engage 8 this week for your chance to win $1 million. So you can go check out that tweet and give us some suggestions there. With me as always, Mr. Ryan. How you doing this Thursday afternoon?
Doing well, man. My family's gone until like Tuesday or Wednesday, so it's just me and one of our dogs stayed home. So we're, it feels a little lonely here without them here. But it's, have fun. Get to watch a lot of sports. So, I'll be playing Showdown tonight. It'd be fun.
Yeah, that's always a good bad type of deal with you kind of miss the kiddos after a couple of days and the wife, I'm sure, but a little time, especially right this time of the year and this week, right? You get college football tonight, NFL tonight, UFC. What are we? NASCAR is actually it's just south in Texas this week, right? Texas.
Yep.
Yeah. So then NFL on Sunday. So. Plenty going on. Right now, I extended the green 25 for 25% off. We've had a lot of people come check that out. It includes a 7-day free trial. So I think most people are wanting to see what we're all about. The NFL tools completely rebuilt from the ground up from us this year over the summer. We'll continue to improve on them even over the next year as we get into next year. But this year, they're finally at a spot where we feel we can show them off a little bit. And then also because we built them in-house, you guys are giving us suggestions and feedback and we're updating it constantly, as well as a Green Machine Optimizer, which is just amazing. It's done great work for any sport, NASCAR, UFC, MLB, NBA, football, NFL, all that. You can do it all in there. We continue to take feedback on that. That's hand built by us as well. So it's all gone well. 25% off any package that includes a 7-day free trial. So a week from now, if you don't like it, cancel, you never get charged. So there's really no risks there. Rate and review us on iTunes. And we do big giveaways, which we'll have one coming up here as we start approaching playoffs and stuff, college football bowl season. I'll look at that. And then of course when we start getting the big stuff in the spring, like the Masters, those are some of the things we do big, big giveaways for. Like and subscribe to us on YouTube as well. Those are people we go and look for when we're doing giveaways. And then our weekly giveaways, I look at the comments section of YouTube. Today, I want to know your favorite quarterback play, kind of opposite of last week. We got a lot of studs on this slate. So I want to know who's your favorite quarterback play, price and ownership doesn't matter. Underdog, use the code GUP. Get $10 when you deposit $10. Had several people take advantage of that and join the resurrection mid-season best ball they did. That is now full and closed. They still have an NBA best ball going if you want to get into that. And then they have daily player picks and stuff. Today, there's a Thursday night battle royal. There's a Sunday night battle royal. I think there's a London game one. And then they have stuff for MLB. And I'm sure they'll have NBA once it comes around as well. So use the code GUP, G-U-P, get a free $10 when you deposit $10 or more. All the links will be in the podcast if you want to check that out. So a little bit of a different slate this week for us. We got only 10 games because we get – is there two teams on bye or four?
Four.
Four bye and still another London game. So there's six gone. Then you get the three primetime games. So very condensed. There's literally only 20 quarterbacks to pick from and all that corresponds with it. But we do get – a pretty action-packed main slate. You got Mahomes, Jackson, Herbert, Stafford up against a weak Giants team, Dak, then Kyler still on there. So a lot of those guys were not on the main slate last week. So it kind of, but I think just off the top on, and then one thing I will caution, and this is something I've seen, just this goes back to my betting, how I got into NFL. I feel like this is going to be a weird, sneaky week. You rarely see six road favorites in the NFL out of 10 games. And so I just throw caution out there. It doesn't mean we can predict anything. I know on the betting side, I'm taking a lot of caution because I feel like there's something trappy about this weekend. Doesn't necessarily mean in DFS, but I do like to use the betting edge sometimes. But last week we didn't have much quarterbacks or big names, Kelce and all that stuff, but this week we have a ton. Does it change your process at all, as in the sense of, I still think it's going to be spread out ownership and all that. And I'll have my first run ownership out here this afternoon, but what are your thoughts when you see so much star power, especially at the quarterback position, when we only have 10 games on it?
You got to just pick and choose your spots. Like, the hardest part, like you said, is that there's so many studs. So, I mean, you have to really pick and choose and get rid of a guy who, you know, you can't play them all. So you're going to have to kind of narrow it down. And I do agree with you, though, that there are some sneaky spots. And I do think that will kind of correlate with DFS here. And we'll get to it as we get to each game. But there's a couple teams, I think, that have, you know, they're listed as huge underdogs, but I think can keep it pretty close and competitive.
And of course, we're recording this a little earlier than we do each week, but don't know what will go on tonight's game. But tonight's another road favorite. So when I released the Eagles, the game's already started, so I can say that now to my guys, as soon as the world openers hit at 7, I knew it'd come down to 6.5. They just have to be an absolute terrible team with no hope that I won't take a home dog in a primetime game that big. A 7, you don't see that very often, and especially when you got an Eagles team that I know they're banged up a little bit. But you got some talent there, and they'll fight. You know, they're not like the Jags or maybe Houston or something like that. So I like the Eagles tonight. We'll see how that plays out. I'm using that to my advantage in showdown, because I think the world will be on the Bucs, and we're always looking for advantage. And so that's why I kind of said what I said about 6 road favorites. You're going to have clear spots that everybody's going. And if you ever want to pick a week to, you know, I remember a couple of years ago, the Bears was like in a home dog, and the guy that won the Million Maker, like, just stacked the Bears that week. And because there's all kinds of chalk on the slate, and the Bears went off, I think Trubisky threw for like 400 yards and 4 touchdowns or some crazy thing. But this is a week where that sneaky play or whatever, I think, don't know what it's going to be. Obviously we'll try to work through it here, could come into play. We'll kick it off with the Chiefs and the football team of Washington. We got a 31.25 to 24.75 implied team total. Chiefs are one of the road favorites this week, coming off of a butt whooping from your Bills. They're starting to make me look like egg on the face again. I thought how the hell they ever lost to the Steelers is beyond me, but that happens in the NFL, especially at home. That really shocks. That'll be when we get to the playoffs. Like, how'd they lose to Pittsburgh? But where are you at in this game, other than it's probably going to be one of the highest owned total games, because as you mentioned greatly in your article, the Chiefs' biggest weakness is their defense. So the Washington should be able to score on them. Is this a spot where we fade a Washington, because I think everybody's going to pluck pieces from that being cheap when you're trying to find value?
I think that guys like McLaurin, I think, are going to go under-owned, because people will try to jam in these Chiefs, and they do have a high price. Tyreek Hill's back up to 8,500. Kelsey's actually down. I mean, he's down to 7. I still like to stack this game. It's like, I don't want to overthink it. The Chiefs they score a ton of points. They're number one in the, like Football Outsiders does the drive success. It's first downs and touchdowns. They're number one on offense, and they're dead last on defense. So they just score, and then you can score on them and back and forth. So it reminds me of like the Chiefs Eagles game where like, you just don't overthink it. I overthunk that one and ended up playing like Rieger. He didn't need to just play like his main number one target. They all went off, and you know, they each had almost 500 yards of total offense in that game. So, you know, you're looking at possibly 1,000 yards of offense. You're going to want to just get every piece of this game that you can.
So there's no, I guess if I'm going to play devil's advocate, but like, we had a similar game a few weeks back. I think it was Seahawks Rams or something to that matter, where we thought it could be a complete shootout, and it was a dud. I remember last year there was a Seahawks Cowboys, and this year, you know, Chargers Cowboys. In hindsight, you know, everybody thought it, but we look hindsight, Cowboys D is probably a lot better than what anybody would have thought. Overall, myself included, I'm a big Cowboys fan. Is there anything here that leans that the Chiefs tighten things up this week? Washington's not technically that great, has weapons, Heineke. You know, I agree with you. I'm just trying to think from a game theory standpoint, big tournaments, how do you convince someone to say, or if they come here, what would our advice be to make their, how do we get them to be unique? Do we, you know, you pay down, you take a risk at the running back, you take a risk at your third wide receiver, something like that, and just go on with it. I do think there's several spots on this slate that there's still some other options. But if you're going to get in this game stack, how do you try to be unique, you think?
So the difference between like the other game, like the Seahawks game you're talking about and all that, and the Rams, they're the difference is in the defense. So
right.
The Chiefs just give up points like that. And then the other side of this game, Washington also is doing that. So like, whereas they're 32nd in defensive success rate, Washington's like 28th. So they just, right. Each team just allows you to drive down the field and score. It almost doesn't even matter how good your offense is. The Eagles came off like a 7-point performance the week before and go out and put 30 something points up against the Chiefs. So it's like, it just doesn't matter. The way to get different probably is to take these spots like Gibson or something like that in this game and hope that he scores twice. Or, you know, it's hard to get away from Seals Jones too. He's a $3,000 tight end. I mean, maybe that's a place some people make a pivot, but in a game where they're expected to be throwing quite a bit and scoring quite a bit, it's hard to ignore his usage, especially when Samuel goes down hurt again. You know, I saw De'Ami Brown's practicing again this week, so he'll probably be back, but not really worried about him. But maybe that is a way you get different. I don't have him listed in the article, but he's probably like near min price. So that could be a way to get different. But I don't really want to get away from Heinicke here or McLaurin and Hill and Kelsey. I mean, these guys are just, they're going to go back and forth, back and forth. And I would hate to miss out on that, you know, 30-point performance.
No, and I agree. I think there's a spot in the next game where you could, depending on how some things shake out, you could do some baby correlation. So like a two-man correlation in another game that gets you some correlation in the game, cheap one-off type stuff. I think so. If you're going to get in this game, I think you do that. I do think, I would think, you know, Mahomes is still going to garnish ownership, and Heinicke would be the less owned, but at his price in this kind of environment, people may take a chance on him and then try to run it back with Tyreek or Kelsey or something to that effect. Tyreek's been going off, obviously. Yeah. Kelsey, you know, Kelsey probably the lower owned. We'll see. But they're both all these guys are going to be, this is going to be a huge game environment for, you know, the big tournaments. So if you get in there, make sure your one offs or two offs are certainly very low owned pieces to make you a little unique from the, and I'm talking the big Millie Maker type stuff. If you're playing some three max, 500 people, 1,000. I mean, you don't have to get as crazy with that because limited bullets in those, but when you're going up against 190,000 lineups, you know, you got to try to be a little bit different. Next is another great game, I think, on the slate. Chargers, Ravens, 27.5 to 24.5. Ravens favored by 3. Interesting matchup. I liked and agreed with what you said. I do have, you know, the one thing, and I kind of talked it up on the Monday night article for Showdown was the Bateman situation. I do think he plays this week, and I do think he's going to have an impact when he does play. To what extent, I don't know, but at 3,000, he's the only person, like, I don't think you really mentioned him or anything, that not only will he have an impact as far as I think he can score, he's absolute stud in college, but trying to figure out who he's going to take away from, I don't think it's going to be Hollywood. You know, it'd probably be more of the Watkins, Duvernay, Prochet-type situation. But you could do a Bateman with one of those Washington Chiefs stack and then run a mini run back with either Eckler or just one piece of the Chargers. So you get a little two-way correlation there, and you're saved a ton of money with a guy like Bateman and still stack up in the Washington game. But outside of that, where are you going here? What do you like best? I know you got tons of pieces that you like on this game as well.
Yeah, I like what you said about him being, you know, 3,000, because that's I do think a popular build this week will be the dual tight end build with Kelsey and Seals Jones. And so because you get that $3,000 guy in there in what's supposed to be a shootout, so you could look at another game that's supposed to be a shootout, or within the same game, like I said, so you go like De'Ami Brown, you go Bateman, you go someone like that that gets off the dual tight end thing and just hope that Seals Jones, you know, crashes and burns in the game. But back to this game, the Chargers-Ravens, yeah, I mean, this is a great spot. Marquise Brown's price is just too low still. Like, I think he's priced as, like, the wide receiver 15 on DraftKings, and there's only – he's one of, like, seven guys on the slate, I believe, that average over 20 DraftKings points a game. And his should be even higher because he had that stinker against the Lions. And that's the only game he hasn't scored in this year. So he's just in this – I mean, he's on fire right now. He's seeing these end zone targets that he doesn't normally see too when they're in the red zone. So he's just he's in a super elite role right now. And because they've had all these injuries, like, I don't think Bateman coming back is going to take anything from him too. I think he's just locked in as the wide receiver one. And then those guys will have to fight it out for, you know, behind Brown and Andrews for targets. And then the other side of the ball, you know, this team has the main four. One thing that I think isn't getting enough respect is Eckler. He's finally priced up to 7,900, but everyone talks about, you know, like the Mike Williams thing being in relation to Mike Thomas in that Lombardi role in an offense. Well, Eckler is the Kamara role. So Kamara was always, you know, over 8,000, and Eckler's finally starting to get up there, but he's doing what Kamara did too in the same type offense. So it's, you know, he's a stud.
No, I agree with that. I definitely think that you're getting the Monday night game effect from Hollywood. Obviously, you know, if he goes off on a Thursday night or Sunday, you know, he'd have been priced differently. So you get an advantage there. I love the Ravens stack this week. My note was in the past, this would have been a huge potential trap letdown spot for the Chargers coming off a big exciting win against the Browns. And then they get the Patriots next week. You don't have Brady or anything like that to make that so much of a trap, but I do think going on the road, West Coast team over here to Baltimore, Baltimore has a type of style of play to, you know, they can run the ball a lot and try to keep the Herbert off the field. You know, well, their defense isn't as good as it used to be, but I think as it gets healthy, it can still be competitive. But I think, like you said, Lamar, Brown, they're going to be owned, but this won't be near the owned as the Washington Chiefs atmosphere. So you can definitely play around in here and be just a little bit different. I don't know about running back. I probably wouldn't touch anything on the Ravens side. I would just stick with Lamar. And then, like I said, I could go Lamar, Hollywood, Bateman, or Lamar Andrews Bateman. I don't know if I go a four-man stack with anything with Lamar, because Lamar can control so much usage. But I agree with the Eckler thing. Do you think he's going to be, because of the price jump and the kind of perception of how the year started, that he'll kind of go under the radar, or people will be on him?
Yeah, I think he'll go under the radar, because it gets hard to click him when you're, like you said, people are going to be playing that first game we talked about quite a bit. And when you start jamming in Tyreek Hill and Kelsey and Mahomes and players like that have such a high price tag, it gets hard to like the rest of your lineup if you're going to plug Eckler in there with them. So, yeah, I think he'll be owned, but not as highly as he should be.
Next game interests me because I kind of thought I'd penciled this as a game that I may have a lot of exposure to. And then I know your article is more cast driven, but you didn't seem as exciting as I did about it. Cardinals at Browns, a couple of OU quarterbacks battling it out this week. Cleveland favored by 3, 26.25 to 23.25. You know, my notes was a little surprised. You only had one cash piece out of this game. You know, talk to me about that. And then I do think I agree with you in the sense that Kyler is becoming more and more of a, you almost want to play him naked because it's hard to figure out where he's going to go. And he was like that a lot in college, although he did have CD, you know, and Hopkins is that guy, but you know, he's not forcing it to him, which is actually good. It's probably part of the reason why they're undefeated. And they do got Rondell Moore now. And, you know, AJ Green is looking somewhat like a vintage AJ Green. So it's actually a good thing for the Cardinals, but a bad thing in the fantasy world. What are your thoughts on that? And why only the one piece on cash?
Well, I just, this will be kind of where I take my stand this week. I just think that, you know, this game, I don't think they match up well against one another. And I think that a lot of people will go to this game seeing what just happened to the Browns defense and think like, oh, shootout. I just don't think that's the case. With Arizona, again, traveling to Cleveland, I don't think that's a good environment for them to be playing in. I read something about Kyler favoring some sort of injury or something. I got to read more about that and see what that is. But I mean, as soon as he had an ailment last year, his, you know, QB rating and everything just plummeted. So I don't know. And then you have to chase the receivers, like you said. So who's going to go off? I mean, they're different every single week. And then you have a split at running back as well. So it's just not a side of the ball I want to go on, especially when I don't really like the matchup at Cleveland. And then, you know, for Cleveland too, I thought about putting Chubb and Hunt in there. And again, I probably wouldn't, you know, it's hard to ever recommend like the second part of a committee running back for cash or anything like that. But Hunt has outscored players like Aaron Jones this year and players like that. I mean, it's just what an unreal year this guy's having. And their run game is just pretty unstoppable. I mean, I love watching it just as a football fan. But if I'm playing anyone in this game, I'm not touching the Browns pass game either. I'm just going to stick with the running backs. And I mean, they combine for 3 or 4 TDs in most games. And that's just, it's just awesome. It's an awesome spot to hit. And I'll fade the rest of it and hope people think it's going to, you know, explode and they have high ownership and maybe they'll flame out.
Yeah. Tournament wise. And I'll touch on this, you know, more as the week goes on, but if people are moving off this game, because there's so much in the first two games we talked about, I certainly don't mind taking the, you know, advantage of going Kyler and stacking like 3 of his options. If I'm going to go in, go all in and just hope they just, it does turn into that environment. I got all the pieces and run it back with a Chubb or something like that. Cause if you're right on this game, you want to be all the way right. You don't want to, you know, if it's looking like this is a leverage spot, we'll see as the ownership kind of shakes out over the next, you know, 24, 48 hours. But, you know, if everybody's going up to these first two games we talked about, you know, I think I would go Kyler and then pick 2 of his wide receivers that you want, maybe Chase Edmonds, you know, Connors is certainly getting goal line touches, whatever you want to do there. You know, maybe it's Kyler, 2 wide receivers and running back with Chubb. I think that's perfectly, you know, Njoku also could be a mini, you know, if you want to get a little game environment, if this turns into a big shootout and everybody else is on the other two, at least could give you a tournament edge. If we're seeing this is going to be a popular game or equally to the other two, I agree with you. You know, I think there's other options that have clear paths with less, you know, like Kyler, we don't know who he's going to go to all the time type of deal. The Browns could just say, we're just going to run the football this week and make the Cardinals stop us before we start throwing it a whole lot, especially with Baker still kind of being banged up. So I agree with that wholeheartedly. Next game is going to be interesting. I want to get your thoughts on it in general before I talk about my Cowboys. They go on the road as a favorite to the Patriots. I didn't think I'd ever say that again in my life, but 27.25, 23.75. I actually agree with everything you said here. I guess my one concern is Diggs just shutting Myers down because he's really the only one they have. But outside of that, can the Patriots be competitive here? Is Patriots at home as a dog is something you just never go up against, especially in the betting world. But this isn't the same old Patriots with Belichick and Brady.
Yeah, it's not. I think the Cowboys can kind of bully them here. I just don't. This is a spread that I guess I understand because there's that thing where you travel to New England and, like, it's been that way with Brady. And I still think that's kind of showing up in the numbers that they project out in Vegas because – I don't think this game's going to be close, and that's just.
Oh, this is a 100% Bill Belichick respect number. Like they don't.
Yeah.
They just books are scared to hang a big Patriots at home number at any point so far, right? Because they got burned on it so many times, you know, in the last 2 decades. That's all this number is complete respect for Belichick.
Yeah. So that's all right. I think this is. So if you're looking on the Patriots side of the ball, I mean, and I plan to see the game play out the way I do. I mean, this is the Jacoby Myers spot. Everyone went there last week, but I thought that was the running spot, and it was. This is the spot where when they're losing, I mean, he saw double-digit targets in both those games. Like, you're talking 13, 14 targets. So even if Diggs is on him, if he's going to see double-digit targets, I don't know. Maybe can he catch half of them? You know, we'll see. And is Diggs really going to lock on him? Because he's not really like a superstar receiver. So I don't know how they'd play that game. On that side of the ball, but he's only 5,500. And if I'm going to go there, this would be the spot I do it when I plan on them losing for the majority of the game and having to throw. And then Damian Harris is banged up now too. So maybe that'll force him to throw it a little more. And we already know White is out, but this to me is like, you know, Zeke should be able to run all over these guys. And if they decide to pass, I think they can do that too. So if you want to throw Dak and there's targets in there, receivers, you can. Schultz, I love. He's still only 4,900, but he is, you know, kind of pushed Jarwin right out of there. So, yeah, I think it's a good spot here to do like, you know, run Zeke and run Myers back at him. Or like I said, if you want to go with the pass game and run Myers back, it's could be a pretty good one.
Yeah. I don't, I mean, just me personally, I don't think I'll be on any of the wide receiver passing game here. Cause I agree with you. And Dallas isn't afraid to run it, especially with both running backs. I do think what is Pollard's price? 5,600. Not many people are going to go there. I mean, he could even pay off that number, and he'll be ridiculously low owned, even with Zeke in there. If you're scripting out, you know, a dominating type game, you know, that could be an option. And they've also shown, if they don't have to throw, they're not going to. I mean, if they get up, they'll run it. They'll run both of them, dink and dunk. I mean, I just wouldn't. If I played anything, I may think about playing Dak naked. You know, maybe get a rushing touchdown if he spreads the ball out, something like that. Not a great. I mean, I just think, like you said, I don't think the Patriots are going to move the ball very much. Dallas gets up by a couple scores. They're going to pound the rock until they have to throw it. So I agree with you in basically all of that. And Schultz isn't a bad option at tight end. If you want to do a mini stack out of this game, you know, Zeke, Schultz, Myers is perfectly fine to get a mini correlation. So I agree with you there. Bengals at Lions. I don't know if we would have saw this as fantasy goodness, in the preseason. I don't know if we're still there yet, but 25.5 to 22 Bengals, another road favorite. I don't know if I've ever seen a team lose the way the Lions have lost consecutively almost every week now. And then they're also just don't offer much fantasy options because, A, they won't give what I consider their best weapon, well, probably their two best weapons, the ball enough, Hockenson and Swift. Swift is going to be a very low-owned option on the slate at 6,300. Does he interest you? I definitely have interest in some of the Bengals side. Lions are tough, but, you know, they'll be able to score. Little worried about, you have some similarity here with the, like Kyler with, you know, is it going to be Chase? Is it going to be Higgins? Chase is just living on these big long touchdowns. You know, Higgins looked decent last week, and then Boyd's still there. So where do we go in this game?
So what's tough, I think, is, you know, where you beat the Lions is everywhere, but you can just run right through them. I mean,
yep.
This is, to me, like Mixon's had a couple tough weeks. Has been on the injury report, things like that. Like, this is the spot, I think he's 6,400, where kind of like my Chubb call from last week, like, this is the spot I love for Mixon. So I'm not worried about P. Ryan. I'm not worried about any of that. I think that this is the spot where if you're going to give him 20 carries and or just 20 touches in general, because he's not really getting too much of the pass work anymore, but that's not really needed here. Like, this is a game where you get up and you just pound the ball. And if that happens, I think this is the big mixing game where you could see 100 yards and multiple TDs.
No, and I agree. I'm not worried about P. Ryan. I think that was more a precaution when he was getting in. He did well. I mean, you know, another Boomer Sooner. He actually goes to our church. I could see this being, when I led the podcast off with that Bears deal that happened, I could see the Bengals being that situation this week where it's just Mixon throws for 350 yards. A lot of touchdowns. He gets Mixon. Burrow throws for 350 yards, gets Mixon involved in the passing game. Chase gets a touchdown. Higgins gets a touchdown. Boyd may even get him. I mean, I could see not many eyes on this game. It doesn't look very attractive. That if you're doing enough MME lineups, you know, I wouldn't mind taking a chunk and just doing all on Bengals stack. And because a lot of people are respecting the Lions, deservedly so. They've been fighting their butts off, but this offensive power should score at will. And I don't disagree with you. Just if you just want to take Mixon and how you take Mixon and Swift for that matter. I mean, you know, I think if they give them, like you said, they got to give them the ball though. And they hadn't been behind a lot, even, you know, the 49ers game to start the season off, they were, but their other games they've been in it. So there's no reason why they shouldn't have been feeding Swift. He said he was going to do it and he still hasn't done it. So it's definitely hard to trust there. Do you have a favorite wide receiver out of Chase, Higgins, and Boyd? I know we were on Higgins last week.
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point, it's just got to be Chase. Like, if you just look at how he's being used and targeted, I mean, the long TDs they're probably unsustainable, but he's at least seeing those targets. So even when he's not catching those TDs, I mean, those are the ones that score the big fantasy points. So, you know, if you're talking a tournament, a guy with a huge ceiling, I mean, there's one right there. Higgins, though, I still like, you know, he saw another 7 targets last week. In the two games, you know, when they started the year, he had touchdowns in both those games. So he's still used. And while his price is just down at 5,300, that is still too cheap for him. So, but like you said, I mean, this Burrow's probably one to add to the article here because I think the Lions D is just absolute trash. So, I mean, it's something where, like you said, you could see a lot of scores from everyone. And we'll see what happens. But in Mixon too, you know, like you said, he can be in the onslaught where you have a Burrow Mixon, one of the receivers. or, you know, or both even. With Higgins at only 5,300, he does not need much. Just has to get in the end zone, and, you know, another seven targets can do that easily.
Oh, absolutely. If it turns into, like, you know, the type of onslaught we're talking about, I'm talking about like 35, 38, 40 points that, you know, and no one's going to have Bengals stacks really that, that they can really pay off in the long run. Next game up is probably as a whole be the highest owned team on the slate. Another road favorite, Rams at the Giants, 28.5 to 18.5. You know, like I said, I think the Rams will be one of the highest owned stacks of the week, even with those other games up there. We nailed the Tony call last week, much tougher matchup this week. Don't know if Jones is going to play, but it sounds like they expect him to. I agree with you there. One of my favorite plays on the entire slate, I think I'm picking up from what you say, is Henderson this week at running back at 6K. I think it'll be a high owned stack. Do you just go all in if you're doing it, or do you maybe try to get a piece or two and hope you're right and the other parts are wrong?
I think this is where you can get a little different because, like, you know, in the beginning of the year, Cup was crushing, Woods wasn't. Then Woods' price is down, so everyone goes to that last week. He absolutely dominates. And now Cup's still priced up at 7,900. So I think the way to get different would be, you know, you go with, like, the onslaught of Stafford, Henderson, Cup, and something like that. You leave Woods out. You know, maybe Woods has another slow game like he had to start the year. That might be the way to get different because Woods ownership at only 6,100, I think is going to be through the roof. It's a good cash play. Him and Henderson are both too low of a price here to, you know, they're going to be owned like crazy. And then on the other side of the ball, like, Tony's going to be incredibly high owned as well. So perhaps you go to Shepard, who will be back, you know, for 5K, or you go to Booker for 5,400 or both. You know, Booker was in just the unreal Barkley role. He's the same thing. He doesn't have the talent, but he had all the same targets, the same everything, scored twice. I mean, so that's a pretty cheap run back too with Booker and Shepard. And it allows you to get up to Cup over Woods. And I think that's what makes it a little different.
I do think my asterisk will be, I think Jones needs to be in the game for those guys to be somewhat viable because he's at least mobile against this defensive line and stuff to make things happen. I don't know how
sounds
much
like Giants, play.
It does. I agree. I don't know how much I get Giants if it's who's their backup? I just went blank. But
was statue,
you're Glennon. Yeah, yeah. I don't see Glennon doing well against that Rams D. But because obviously I'm transitioning from golf starting to now football. So I do a lot of my research last night into today. Has there been any, I hadn't had time to dig yet. Has there been any word of a potential suspension on Tony because of the punch? That was my only concern.
I haven't read anything. I thought there was going to be, but like keep looking for news. I can't find anything on it. So I don't know what they're doing with that, but
they kind of remind me of that. Remember that Bears guy that punt? Now, that was pretty. It was on prime time and everybody saw it. So maybe this one kind of went under the radar. But I thought once the NFL saw that punch, he was going to maybe lose a game. But yeah, that was my only concern. But if it hadn't come out by now, it's, of course, they've had a lot in their office at the old NFL headquarters last few days. So that's probably not on their radar. So maybe we speak by there. Absolute knucklehead play. But obviously, he helped me have a successful Sunday. Had tons of them, and he absolutely crushed. A tremendous talent. He's a guy that can take it long. I don't know if I said this earlier, but Bateman was an absolute beast in college. Now he's been fighting the injury. This is his rookie year, hadn't played yet, been on the IR. And that's why I liked him, because at 3,000, even if he's limited in plays, he is a guy that can get two catches, 80 yards and a touchdown, that type of deal. And at 3K, that's just a potential smash spot with Bateman. If you tell him, it looks like he's going to play. They held him out Monday night with all intentions of him coming off the IR for Sunday. Obviously, we'll update that Sunday morning as that comes out. But I'm banking on him playing. I think in this type of slate where you need some kind of value and there's really not a lot, I'll take a chance on Bateman and hope most people aren't even really thinking about it, because he's going to have that IR tag on him all the way until probably Sunday morning when they release inactive type stuff. So something to keep on there. Next game. Vikings at Panthers, almost a pick 'em, 23.5, 22.5. Technically, Vikings a road favorite. We need to keep an eye on CMC, Cook, and Madison in this game. All of them with questionable tags right now. What are your thoughts on those three? And then what are your scenarios especially I think one of Cook or Madison will play most likely, but, and then you just go with the one that play, if they both start or in because of how long Cook's now been out, I'm going to assume he's healthy and they give him a full load. If not, they'll just go with one. So that's pretty, that's a lot easier. We just have to wait till Sunday morning like we did last week. But if CMC's in, where does that change for you at his price? Obviously, if he's out, I think Hubbard's a good play, and you mentioned that. But if he's in, where does he fit in your grand scheme of things?
I mean, he's always viable here. He's, I mean, he'll be 8,800, which is, that's normally a cheap price for home Christian McCaffrey. So he is
the number one price by $900, just to point that out. So yeah, you're right.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be on him. Last I read was right before we did this, actually, he was 50-50 still. If he's out, I do like Hubbard a lot at 5,900.
I do.
Yeah. And on the other side of the ball for the Vikings, I don't really, you know, Cook at 7,700. I'd probably rather have Eckler for $200 more. And I don't even really think it's worth like thinking about a pivot to go down to Cook for a tournament or anything. I think I just like Eckler more no matter what. So I'd rather be overweight there than try to pivot off it and go to Cook. And then a receiver, I mean, Thielen's down to 5,800 now. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to trust him, but when they get down to the red zone, I mean, Cousins still looks at him. If he catches one or two TDs at 5,800, he could be a great value at 5,800.
Yeah, so this is the game that I mentioned earlier that I was talking about. If you get in one of these big chalky Chiefs, Washington, Chargers, Ravens, or maybe even Cardinals, Brown, and you're looking for that one-off, low-owned, not really looking anywhere, assuming McCaffrey's out, I think I could drop down here and go Conklin for 3,200 and run it back with Hubbard and even more if you want. But if you go Conklin Hubbard, it's just a two-man correlation, but it saves you a lot of money and very low-owned pieces, potentially. Hubbard maybe, but not many people are going to come stack those two with one of those big chalky stacks, especially Conklin. Or maybe go Conklin Thielen, you know, because you're saying Thielen's cheap. He has the potential to go off. There's options there, many two or three man stacks in this deal that you can move up with one of those big chalky stacks if you like. Because I think it's a good enough environment. I mean, I agree with you. It's nothing I want to get overweight on or you know, full game stacks or anything. But there are some good pieces with upside here, pending injury news.
Yeah.
I don't know what is. Let me check. What do they have Madison and priced at right now? 62. So, which they're being smart on that stuff this year. They're not giving you any, even Hubbard. I think Hubbard's a little cheap right now, but you know, they can't, I get it. 5,900's, you know, still respectable. So, you know, back in the day, he'd have been like 3,000 or something and just chalk world. Packers Bears rivalry game, Packers on the road, 24.75, 20.25. What are your thoughts here? I personally didn't have a lot of, feel for this game. I will say, and I almost talked about him last week just because I loved him in college. He started out at Kansas, so I saw some of them in the Big 12, transferred to Virginia Tech, and he showed what he could do last week. Herbert, rookie, played well. If Williams is out, I absolutely love playing him, but you know, as a one-off type deal. But man, Adams is up to 9,000 now. Do we go there?
Yeah, I'm not afraid of that price really. I don't think it'll be needed in cash this week, although, you know, I haven't built anything yet. Wait till all the news comes out. But, yeah, at 9,000, I mean, he has a ceiling, you know, that's up there with all the big boys at running back and everything. So he's just a stud. It's a price that you'd pay for, you know, a Derrick Henry type, things like that. And he can always catch multiple TDs and hit the 100-yard bonus. So not too worried about that. But I think my main call here, though, would be, like, I really like Aaron Jones this week, and I think that's going to be – I'll be in the minority there. Especially with AJ Dillon getting a little more work. I just think it's still Jones's backfield, and he's only 7,300 here. Road game, which I kind of like better for him. I just think they're going to focus on the ground game here, and that's where he's going to eat. And I don't think that this is like Dillon's backfield in the red zone or in the end zone, like inside the five, stuff like that. Still Jones's backfield. No one's going to own him here. I think it's a good spot for him.
I agree. I'm interested to see, you know, how Fields plays at home, you know, first big time division rivalry game. I don't think I get there at 5,100, but the Packers D isn't really, you know, I don't know how banged up Alexander is. Is he have a chance to play this week or is he on the short-term IR?
That I haven't looked at yet. I don't think he's going to play this week though. I believe he hit the IR last week. I think they put him on it. So he's like the three gamer or whatever.
Yeah, I think that's right. So, I mean, Packers can still be scored on. We saw that last week with the Bengals and the no one can make a field goal game. So I'm not afraid of, ironically, we talked about the Bears a blowout game a few years ago. I'm not afraid of, you know, a Mooney. I like Mooney a lot. He's cheap this week. I don't think I can go all Bears here with Fields. He has a special talent. I really do think he will be successful if he doesn't get screwed by, you know, the potential situation he's in. He is a good talent in my eyes. Actually, you know, I was dead set that he'd wind up with your 49ers and be a great fit with y'all's coach, but neither here nor there. I do like Mooney a lot. I've talked about him for prediction strike and all that kind of stuff. He didn't do as well last week per se, but he's still very targeted, involved, snaps, all that. He's super cheap. Again, like this is another spot, like you just said, loving Aaron Jones here, low owned. You get a Mooney one piece, maybe he gets, you know, six catches, 80 yards and a touchdown, something small, two piece set there to correlation in a very low owned environment game that you can stack up with some of these big chalky games that really sets you apart that I think you can go either way there. I do like Herbert a lot if Williams is out, because you can run on the Packers. And I'll, obviously you have Williams as a potential cash play, which I agree with if he's in as well. I don't know how banged up he is. I hadn't done my full injury deep dive yet, but I do know that there was a chance he's questionable or something like that at this point. Raiders Broncos, were down to the probably lower part of trying to find some value in the slate. 20.25 at the Broncos, 23.75. Broncos favored. Very unusual, weird week for the Raiders, as we all know. Is it wait and watch with them, or do you expect maybe there was animosity that we didn't know about and some they ball out? Do you think there was talks about, you know, Gruden never really liking Carr, although Carr's went to bat for him many times? You know, does Drake get out of the doghouse? You know, what's your thoughts there, or do you wait and see what happens this week and try to get on next week?
I think the Drake call was something that I wrote about that was like he was in Gruden's doghouse, and that was well documented. And so I just don't think, like, he's the highest paid backup in the league. I don't think he's just going to continue to not play. And it wasn't like he missed one blitz assignment. It wasn't like he was playing terrible. So he's only 4,300, and in a game where I think they'll probably be behind here, that seems like more of a Drake type script. None of these guys I would, you know, consider in cash. And then on the other side of the ball too, like, they have to split at running back. I saw Gordon was banged up. If for whatever reason he misses, then I love Javonte Williams. But, you know, Sutton would be the only guy I'd look at here if everyone's, you know, playing and healthy. He's 6,200. That's still, you know, fairly cheap for a guy who can put up 100 and a TD in almost any game. So, I don't know. Overall, like you said, we're getting down to the games that aren't too much fun. And then Renfro would be the only other guy on the other side of the ball. I still like him. He's only 4,900 still, but he's still seeing, you know, almost eight targets a game.
Yeah, and I absolutely love Javonte Williams. So, been on it. I've talked about him probably almost every pod by this point. And I said at the beginning of the season, I thought, and we're in October, I don't know if I could say he's got the number one. I should have pulled up the share, but there's 50-50 at worst. And I think he's a better running back by far. And before long, he will take over the majority of snaps and carries. If Gordon's out at all or very banged up all week and doesn't practice, I would definitely love playing some Javonte this week, especially, you know, one thing to think of, I don't have the slate in front of me. Let's see if I can. I'm going to assume this is probably an afternoon game. So if you play the afternoon only.
Yeah, it's a late one.
Okay. He's a potential option there for that. You got Cardinals, Browns, Patriots, Cowboys, Raiders, Broncos. So a three-game afternoon slate. I would love some Javonte when you only have that many options on that slate. I don't know. You know, he's a cheaper option still. you know, I don't do the cash only on those slates, but even a little GPP, if you guys tend to go there, if they get blown out in the main, but keep that in mind if you do afternoon slates as well. Next game, last game, not much to talk about. Texans at Colts, 17 for the Texans, a 26.5 for the Colts. You know, Wentz looked better. You know, basically my showdown article, you know, played out very well, the last two actually, but you know, Monday night was a great night for me. Almost took down the Millie Maker and almost won the 100,000 in the 222, ended up making about 25,000. But, you know, and I think we saw Wentz is getting a little bit better, and we know what his talent can be, and he's with the coach that he loved and did well with. And, you know, so, and I love Pittman. I think he's too cheap here. You mentioned him. I think Taylor's good. I'm a little frustrated and concerned. He's only getting 49.9% of the snaps or whatever it is. I think it's egregious. I don't know if they're showcasing Mac. We've heard the rumors about him potentially going to the Chiefs or other places. Not a whole lot of excitement in this game. If you're going to go anywhere, it's probably some Colt stuff. And then, yeah, Cooks is always in play because he's pretty much the only person to see the ball. Where are you at on the Colts in general?
They're the same thing, yeah, because they played the Ravens, so they give the discounted pricing, the Monday Night Football pricing. Yep. So, like Taylor, after a huge game, he's still just 6,600. Wentz, 5,400. And then, you know, his number one target in Pittman's 5,500. And, you know, one thing about Wentz, too, and I might add him in here, not as a cash play, but just as a play in general on here, he's so cheap, he might get T.Y. Hilton back, too. I don't think Hilton takes anything away from Pittman at all. I think Pittman's still just the number one there, but it'll be nice to have, you know, another target out there. And Hilton tends to go off, you know, at these home games. So I don't know. I like the Colts side of the ball a lot here, but especially Jonathan Taylor. I just think this is the game where, you know, he leads the league in these, you know, carries in the red zone. He's going to score more than one TD in a game on the ground. And if there was any game to do it, it'd be this one. And he's still too cheap.
Yeah, I wonder. I don't even know what he's not going to be on my thing. See what is Hilton? Would he be the dead man?
Hilton is 4,100.
Yeah. So, I mean, you talk about you got a $5,400 Wentz, a $6,600 Taylor, a $5,500 Pittman, and a $4,100 Hilton, you know, four-man stack there, and you can combine basically whatever the heck you can get. Davante Adams, you can get, you know, go stack some Chiefs, whatever you want to do with something like that is certainly in play on something like that. So I think that's a great sneaky stack on the week. And if you ever want to get right game and get win some confidence going into the rest of the season, the Houston Texans are exactly what the doctor would order there. I don't see them competing very well. I guess the one fear would be, you know, they get up and just run the ball, but you still have plenty of Taylor there to get things going. If they get up, they had to get up some way. I certainly can see just playing Taylor and moving on, but if you really want to, you know, hope for some other stuff there, that certainly opens up a lot of things. If they just hit their value, you know, you get some big priced guys at the rest of the bill that could really pay off in some spinoffs. What, any final thoughts for you before we wrap it up?
No, just that I'll be updating my article on Saturday morning and Sunday morning. And so I do a game by game breakdown in there. And then on the bottom, I have, you know, it more broken down and consolidated for cash. So, you know, for anyone reading it, just know that you're going to have to check back on Saturday morning and Sunday morning, just because I don't have all the news updated, all the plays updated, and, you know, things will change. Last week with Madison, like, you needed to know, I was locking in Madison in cash. That just had to happen. So I know some people didn't end up getting there, but just make sure you check it on Saturday and Sunday morning.
Yeah, Monkey Knife Fight. I've been I've hit four straight slates now. I will have those out. They're already out on the coin flip. If you're listening to this by now, that's already been posted. You can go check that out for my NFL plays of the week and my college football plays of the week. Both of them hit last week. My Thursday night plays last week hit. I've already announced mine for tonight. Obviously, you guys are listening to this. If you got in early, it's middle of that game, so no help there. But check those out. 100% match, up to $100 deposited. Dollar for dollar match. Use GUPS. That's in the link as well. The plays will be out on the coin flip if you want to go check them out. They got everything. UFC, college football, NFL, PGA, NHL, Major League Baseball, NBA, NASCAR, soccer, and even LOL if you play that. So plenty of options there. You can use all of our contact to go pick and match those. I release PGA, college football, and NFL each week on the Cup with Gup. So you can utilize those as well. I think I've hit 6 of the last 8 slates. So if you've been following them, we've been crushing. College football pod will drop Friday morning. As I mentioned, coin flip dropped this afternoon. I'll be live at 9 o'clock Sunday morning with my final thoughts on the Audible live chat. And then I update my Gup's final thoughts article after that chat, once we have all the inactives and stuff as well, like Ryan mentioned. I hope you guys have a blessed evening. Hope you're doing well in PGA and NFL and college football tonight. Big college football weekend ahead, Friday and Saturday, big slates, huge NASCAR. We got UFC and then this main slate on Sunday. So I will see you back tomorrow, and have a good evening. Thanks.